Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our early November 2020 podcast, our 99th podcast, Waking Up in Vegas. Oh, yeah. And thank you, Katy Perry. But we're going to talk about those lyrics and how they may or may not apply right now for your thinking and your vacation plans and your travel plans to Las Vegas. So let's take a very short break and come right back and start the show. Well, we can always count on our digital audience. You know, Katy Perry's song is often called an ode to Las Vegas, O-D-E. Well, as an English major, I know there's two definitions for ode. Originally, it was a poem that was intended to be sung. But more and more, a lyric poem, typically of elaborate or irregular metrical form, and the ode was packed with enthusiastic emotion, you know, high, exalted emotion. I remember John Keats' Ode on a Grecian Urn. I don't think you could sing that one. The romantic poet, John Keats. A lot of imagination involved. But Katy Perry's Ode to Las Vegas, Waking Up in Las Vegas, has some troubling lyrics, you know, in terms of the situation we're in right now. Let me give them to you and have some fun just thinking about these. Here she goes in verse 1, you gotta help me out. It's all a blur last night. We need a taxi because you're hungover and I'm broke. I lost my fake ID, but you lost the motel key. Square me your freaking dirty looks now. Don't blame me. And what they call the pre-chorus, you want to cash out and get the hell out of town? Don't be a baby. Remember what you told me. So it's a dialogue here. Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. Get up and shake the glitter off your clothes now. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. That's the end of verse one. You know, we talk about the party life in Las Vegas, and usually it deals with people a whole lot younger than myself. But if you wake up and everything's a blur, that's always dangerous, whether you're in Las Vegas or not. And you can get yourself in real trouble because, truthfully, you can make some very poor decisions, and just in terms of trusting people around you or going to a dangerous area. I don't want to be the one that breaks your positive mood, but usually when you're walking around with money in your purse, money in your wallet, and you're casino hopping, you have to be careful. You do. And of course, at a table game or at a slot machine, if you're living that blur lifestyle, intoxicated gambler, you could be dangerous to your financial welfare, right? Because you could do some really stupid things. And Katy continues in verse 2. Why are those lights so bright? Or did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Elvis, why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother, because now we're partners in crime. And don't be a baby. Remember what you told me. And we repeat, shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. Get up and shake the glitter off your clothes now. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. And what we call a bridge in the music business, you got me into this. Information overload, situation loss control. Send out an SOS. Ha ha. And get some cash out. We're going to tear up the town. Now don't be a baby. Remember what you told me. Remember what you told me. Remember what you told me, told me, told me. And then that final chorus about putting your money where your mouth is repeats to close out the song. Well, I can go back all over the place with these lyrics. You know, waking up in Vegas and wondering if you're married or not. Did I get married last night? That's pretty bad. But, you know, the truth of it is, there's a lot of podcasts that do glamorize this thing of the party life in Las Vegas to the point that, you know, it's you're supposed to enjoy by watching them talk about how they were drunk at this place or that place. And I'm not judging it for you. I'm just judging it for myself. If you're a recreational gambler, one of my commandments in gambling is, you know, if you're going to be an intoxicated gambler, you're really a fool. And anytime you are intoxicated in a city like Las Vegas, you're putting yourself in jeopardy because of the poor decisions you might make and not being aware of your surroundings because you're intoxicated. And I think maybe it might be a stage in life, but I'm troubled personally. And again, not for you. You choose to listen to what you want to. I think there's a lot of good people in podcasts, but they go in this direction of glamorizing intoxication. And I just think it's a big mistake. And I don't think that's what people are interested in. I've said, you know, if I want to drink, the last thing I want to do is spend hundreds of dollars for plane tickets and, you know, meals in Las Vegas and rooms in Las Vegas to drink. I mean, I could do that at home. Without spending anything more than the cost of the booze. So I hope we agree to disagree on this. If you're embracing the party life in Las Vegas, I'm just saying that I don't think that's what Las Vegas should be about if you want to consider yourself to be a recreational gambler. But when you're talking about getting drunk and being intoxicated, just crossing the street in Las Vegas is dangerous enough without that. So I hope we agree on that. And if we don't, we don't. But that's the first thing I wanted to discuss today. Waking up in Vegas, for me, I wake up and I feel fine because last night I enjoyed myself. You know, sometimes I don't come in until 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I remember one time, wasn't that long ago, I gambled all night and I went into the room. My wife, of course, was asleep because she went to bed probably at 12:30. But I came in like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and her comments to me were, "Well, I hope you won." And I said, "Yeah, I did. I had a couple grand I threw on the bed." It was one of those nights. Everything went my way. But that's what I'm talking about. Waking up in Vegas, waking up being happy, or if I lost, playing smart and, you know, keeping my loss limits in force, despite the good time that I was having gambling, even when I was losing. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. I wanted to jump to 3-2-1 crap segment right now, and we'll do our usual protocol with our countdown. But today I wanted to deal in that segment coming up with the problems of a $15 table, and I'm going to talk about a couple ways to go. And you know, you choose what appeals to you, but I'm going to tell you what I would do. Because $5 tables have disappeared. I think the pandemic did it. Very hard to find them. And the reason for that, you can only put 6 people at a table. And, you know, casinos aren't going to make any money. Staffing a craps table with a bunch of $5 players, you know, low rollers at the table. So they go to $10, $15 minimums. And that does change the game for a lot of us. So we'll talk about, you know, a way to approach that and choices you can make and things that might be appealing to you if you're facing a $15 table in particular. Okay, let's go right to the countdown.
3, 2, 1.
What I used to see quite often at $5 tables is people would avoid the come-out roll. You know, they wouldn't be on the pass line. They wouldn't be in the dome pass. But as soon as a point was established, they would just say, give me $32 across, which basically would mean a $5 place bet on the 4, the 5, $6 place bets on the 6 and 8, and $5 place bets on the 9 and the 10. And, of course, that equals $32. But when you get to a $15 table, things are a little different. And even at a $10 table, to do that, to make place bets all the way across, you know, that would cost you $64. You know, and again, that'd be a $10 placement on the 4, a $10 placement on the 5, the 9, and the 10, and two $12 on place bets on the 6 and 8 for a total of $64. But as I was saying, at a $15 table, to just make the place bets across the table, you know, and avoiding the come-out roll, either dome pass or pass line, you have $96 involved. So you're jumping from that $32 place bet thing on a $5 table to go across and place all the numbers to minimum. And on a $15 table, you have to put up $96 to do that. And, you know, a couple losses in the early sevens. And what's that expression I say? You could be in a heap of trouble if you're a low roller. So is there another option? If you do like to get a lot of action, you know, not just make the pass line bet with odds behind it, but to make place bets at a $15 table, what do? I always say if you really can't afford to do that, you can always just play the down pass, even without odds, you know, risking $15 on the down pass. And you might do okay with that if it's really a cold table. And if you don't get wiped out on come out roll sevens, you know. But there's another suggestion I want to make. And this is what I do quite a bit when I want to make place bets on a $15 table. All right, well, the first thing I want you to consider, you know, you have $96 across, you know, you have two $18 bets on the 6 and 8, and then you have $15 bets on the 4, the 5, the 9, and the 10 for $96, is just to come down after one hit. All right, risk two hits and down, or two hits and off. Maybe that's a better way to put it. You know, if you want to come off, you tell the dealer off and they put a button on your bets. And if there's a seven out, you get all your money back. So you can play it safe that way. Just come down quickly or come down after two hits. I shouldn't say come down, because when you come down, they give you all the money back then while the shooter is still rolling. So I should say to go off after one roll or to go off after two rolls. That keeps your money on the table until there's a seven out. If the shooter makes their point, you know, your money's already up there. It makes it easier on the dealers. You're not going to go back to it again. And nothing's in play on the come out roll unless you tell them. And, you know, your place bets won't be working. So you're okay. But the other thing I would suggest is I think this is the perfect time to play the Iron Cross, because you can keep your investment down a little bit. And here's what I mean. If you're playing the Iron Cross, you know, you're covering, also called, I always say it, the Fremont Street Gun, but you're covering the 5, 6, and 8. Those, the 5, 6, and 8 are not numbers in the field. So, a lot of times, I think it's wise to do this. You know, you shouldn't play the field at any level if you don't have bets on the 5, 6, 8. But anyway, if you do, you do. So, if I bet the 5, 6, 8 at a minimum table, that means I have 18 on a 6 and 18 on the 8. That's $36. And if I add $15 more to it, that takes me to $51. Now, that's quite a bit different than $96. But to go onto the field then, I'd put $15. But I wouldn't do it right away. I'd look for a hit on the 5, the 6, and the 8. And if I got that hit, I wouldn't put those chips in the rails. I would press up the 6 and the 8. So let's say I'm just playing the 5, 6, and 8, and I get somebody rolls a 6, so I win $21. So I just put another $6 on the 6, which takes it to 24, another $6 on the 8, which takes it to 24, and another $5 on the 5, which takes it to 20. And, you know, I keep whatever little was left. But now I'm in much better shape. And I am, because I have a $20 5 and a $24 6 and a $24 8. And now I can put $15 on the field. And if a 5, 6, 8 wins, I still win a little bit of money. You know, it's not going to be even Steven. So that's why I would begin with playing the Iron Cross. And, you know, say somebody's rolling something that's pretty fancy, like, you know, someone keeps rolling a 9, a 9, a 9. So then I might place the 9 for $15. Or somebody's rolling a 10 or a 4, you know. Instead of just playing the field, I might play the field and then place the 4 and the 10. So those are things I'd like you to consider. Because, again, as this pandemic goes on and the crowd stayed down in Las Vegas, those $10 tables now might go to 15. And this might be happening where you live. In the Pittsburgh area, the Rivers and the Meadows always offered a $5 table. Now, I haven't found them. Now, they're all 10. and, you know, on weekends go to 15. And so I want you to be prepared for this. It makes quite a bit of difference. Now, on the other hand, if it's a hot night and you're winning, you're always happy it was a $15 table because you want more money. But I'm talking about your loss limit. Of course, on those days, it's not so hot. I'll put it that way. So I hope this gives you something to think about with Craps Talk today. Remember, the other choice you can make besides playing the dome pass is just not to play. sometimes that might be a good choice, but for me, it never is. I want to play. I love playing craps, and these are things I've worked out because, before this pandemic even came around, I'd often be at a table that was a $5 table, and it was pretty hot, and all of a sudden, there'd be an announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, after this shooter, we'll be going to a $15 table. Where did that come from? Well, I know where it came from. They were losing money, and so they're going to up it up, up the standard. So when people start to lose, they'll lose more, you know? Let's face it, you know, the casinos have a lot of tricks up their sleeve that they can play, and raising the table limits is one of them. So I hope this Craps Talk segment was important to you today, and, you know, I'm telling you what's the right thing to do. Remember, you know, how you bet is how you bet, but these are things that I've done over the decades, and I know how upsetting it can be at a $15 table when you're used to a $5 table, so I hope you appreciate that. Okay, we're going to go on and talk about some other things, and these all are things associated with Las Vegas, and let's try this out. I'll be right back to discuss the Las Vegas Raiders. But I'll probably find a way to mention our home team here in Western Pennsylvania, the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, hang on, short break, and we're coming back. On the southern end of the strip, you have Allegiant Stadium and the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, at this point in the season, I have to say, by all accounts, they surpass my expectations, and I think most of football's expectations. You know, they started off the year with the win over the Carolina Panthers, a 34-30 win. Okay, we're happy to see them win. In their first home game, I don't think many expected them to defeat the New Orleans Saints, who at that point in the season were, hey, maybe Super Bowl bound in their minds. But they had a convincing 10-point win at home in the opener, 34-24. And then, of course, they lost in Boston against the Patriots, 36-20. They lost to the Bills by a touchdown. That was a home game, 30-23. But here's the one that sort of just woke everybody up about the Raiders, John Gruden's Raiders. Their win against the Chiefs in Kansas City, 40-32. And that took them to 3-2. And then they went the next game facing Tom Brady. They lost to the Buccaneers, 45-20. But they bounced back impressively in Cleveland against the Browns, 16-6. And, of course, so now they have a 4-3 record going into the eighth game. And their schedule gets a little easier, I would think, than, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Bills, and even the Patriots. Another surprise for me was the efficiency and the maturity of Derek Carr. You know, at this point, the quarterback has
nearly 2,000 passing yards.
The certainty of field goal kicker Daniel Carlson. Josh Jacobs behind that massive offensive line that Gruden's put together. The running back has 522 yards rushing. And in terms of receptions, tight end Darren Nattler has 45 receptions, and that's impressive. And he pulls them out of a lot of third down situations with some great catches. And really, Carr is putting it in there sometimes with very narrow windows. The thing that's challenging defensively for me is that your safety and the cornerbacks for the Raiders are making the majority of solo tackles. And that means, of course, that offensive players on other teams are getting into the third level of the defense, past the defensive line, past the linebackers, into the secondary just too often. And then the secondary is doing what they can to pull people down, but that's not a good place. You don't want the majority of your tackles to come from your safety and cornerbacks, that's for sure. So that's defense is where they need to improve. And probably it's going to be trades and drafts that improves that the quickest. You know, so far, the fans are not welcomed at Allegiant Stadium. You know, this very few, if any, are there right now. I don't know what the most current number is, but they're just a non-factor. So, of course, if you have a big screen TV and you're a native in Las Vegas, or if you want to watch it in your hotel sports book, that's great. But if you want to really have an adventure watching the Raiders while you're in Las Vegas, I would suggest you go to the Circa Hotel, which recently opened. Their sports book is the betting sports, is the sports betting venue, the biggest one, the largest one in the world. It surrounds the casino and it rises three stories. It has a viewing capacity of over 1,000. A massive, massive television screen, which is programmed to put on all the games at one time. So this is an experience that you might enjoy. And, of course, you want to check out the new casino resort, Circa Resort in Fremont Street. It's the first hotel built in Old Vegas since 1980. So in the southern end of the strip, you have Allegiant Stadium and the Raiders. And in the northern end of the strip, you have Fremont Street and that Circa Sportsbook, which is very attractive. There's a couple other reasons to visit Las Vegas. And I want to add that if you are a sports bettor and, you know, you parlay bets together or you increase your bets when you win, how about the Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, with the return of Ben Roethlisberger, people thought they would be better again, but I don't think anyone thought they'd be undefeated at this point in the season with sort of a scary win over the Baltimore Ravens, because stats-wise, with the exception of a couple interceptions, stats-wise, Baltimore just took over every category. But the stat that counts the most is the scoreboard, and the Steelers prevailed, and they're now 7-0 at this point in the NFL. So anyway, something to think about. Sports betting is alive and well by app everywhere. And, of course, the episode number of this one, Waking Up in Vegas, is 99. And we are going to be featuring the opening of Pittsburgh Live here in Western Pennsylvania in our late November podcast. But I wanted to put out this number. It's our 24/7 voicemail, 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. If you wanted to comment, hopefully in a positive way, about our 100th podcast, please do. We'll try to get it on the air. I'm going to put one on the air following these comments early, and we were so happy to get this one. But there, I know a lot of people that want to talk about, you know, listening to many of the podcasts, or, you know, some may have listened to all of them, some may have listened to just a couple. But if you have something positive to say, encouragements, we don't ask for money. We don't charge money for you to listen to these podcasts. And we're a little bit of a different voice because we're not just about Vegas. We try to cover casinos as we travel to and fro, which, of course, have been restricted by the pandemic. But we have been out and about and locally with casinos several times a month, and we're talking about those. And, of course, we love the Midwestern casinos, particularly in southern Indiana, the riverboat casinos, which are now able to have slots and table games on land. That law has been changed. But nonetheless, you have something good to say and you want to talk to us, ask a question, make a comment, 1-724-519-4556. And here's our latest phone call.
Hey, Coach Fab. Tom from Pennsylvania. Congrats on 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. And I know you mentioned in the 98th episode about some issues with craps playing. I'm an East Coast gambler, mostly Atlantic City. And I've found the few times I've gone since they've reopened, not many, but a couple, I really don't play as long as I normally would at the craps table. The plexiglass and everything else, just, it definitely takes away from the enjoyment I have of the game. Not being able to hear, not being able to really talk to people next to you. I think it's something that I'm definitely going to reel back until things kind of get back to some normalcy. So if you have anything that you really don't like since they've reopened, maybe you can talk about that. Congrats again, and look forward to 100 more podcasts.
Thank you so much, Tom. Hey, and appreciate the time it takes to call us. I really appreciate it very much. But no, you're right. We don't try to sugarcoat things either. You know, we've complained and warned about the new dangers for personal security in Las Vegas, tied to a lot of factors going on in our country, tied to the dangers of social media in terms of riling people up to do things that they may later regret, and to kind of like bypass, you know, traditional American values in terms of respect for authority and the law and the police, etc. And we don't like that at all. We don't like drinking a beer with a mask on through a straw, which is something we encountered when the casinos in Western Pennsylvania reopened. Now they don't even serve beer on the floor. You have to go into what they call the eatery at the Meadows, a restaurant area, to drink beer. So there's no mixed drinks, alcohol in the casino, the Meadows that we've been going to south of the Pittsburgh airport, you know, since the last couple of weeks. And who knows where we go from here. So there's plenty of things that like to dislike about the way the state of affairs are in casinos around the country, I'm sure. And thanks for reminding us to talk about that in all honesty. And it's particularly important since our mission statement is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We got to get things straightened out, right? We got to get things straightened out. Let's go beyond the election and try to get back to like normal living, regardless of the outcome. All right. Remember, whatever you're thinking, that Casinos USA is a special place where every day is Saturday. Thank you, Katy Perry, for your wonderful song, Waking Up in Vegas. And we'll see you all in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening, everyone.